Are we recording? No, too much.
All right. Is it? I think it's your pick.
Okay.
Coming down to it, looks like we got about, this is four. We're
going to talk about the best fight.
Best fight of the year.
This was actually, this was a film that I was, this was a category that I was actually very excited for because I like when we punch people.
Yeah.
I have an appreciation for fight scenes in film, and so this was actually one that I was super excited for.
Well, I appreciate when they actually add to the story as well, so.
Yeah. I have some that are kind of just fun. Yeah. Let's start with the fun one.
Great.
Number, I don't know, I think I have 7 on here. One of the ones that I think this is the best part of the movie is actually the titular fist fight. In the film Fist Fight.
Great.
I thought that it's ridiculous and stupid and wonderful.
Perfect.
Great, great moment. I have...
You're like, if only the rest of the film could have been that.
I have the police attack in Brawl in Cell Block 99.
Yes.
Who knew that Vince Vaughn could be terrifying? But very good. I have Common versus John Wick in John Wick Chapter 2. They square off twice in that movie, and the one that I actually think I like the most is when they're in a subway, and they have very limited space to be able to move around and to be able to fight, but I think that within that confined space, they do a lot of interesting things. This scene is also much easier to see what's happening because it's not at night and everything is lit.
Isn't there one in that film, I don't think it's between them, where they're like in this like really... Like, almost like a mirror room or, like, sterile?
Yeah,
or...
so that's between him and Ruby Rose.
That's a good fight, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later.
Oh, sorry. So sorry. The rest of yours are just from John Wick Chapter 2.
No, I only did one from each. I have, you know, I don't actually remember quite who he's fighting, so I have, when Logan, when he uses the medicine to make himself strong in that last moment, and it's kind of like the last barrage. I know he fights X-24. I
think. Is that the final sequence?
Yeah, the final sequence.
Yeah, it's
the
X-24.
Final. There's X-24. There's the guy with the metal hand. I think he's doing some stuff, but the kids might be fighting.
I think he's... Because that's who the girl is fighting, is the metal hand guy, so... Yeah.
I think that there's just a lot happening in that, and I
yeah.
thought it was fun. I have Donnie Yen in an airplane is what I named for this one. Donnie Yen in XXX Return of Xander Cage.
Great.
He was wonderful in that. He got to choreograph it. They use a lot of interesting things with free fall within the plane. I think he's just, it's really fun to always see. You got Donnie Yen. Deckard fighting on the plane with a baby. I think that's his name from Fate of the Furious.
Yep.
I mean, I'm a...
You're a sucker for a baby fight.
I think I'm a sucker for Jason Statham.
Oh, that might be it.
I have the Red Room from Star Wars. Just the fight between the Red People and Kylo Ren and Rey, I think, is wonderful. But my number one is going to be the stairway scene from Atomic Blonde.
Nice.
This scene is incredible. The way, how, oh, there's, okay, so there's so much going into this scene, but I think that with all of the stunts, with all of the choreography, everything that happens in this is just overall amazing and breathtaking, and they film it to make it look, they film and edit it to make it look like one shot. There are some cuts in it, but I think that overall, it's easy to see what's happening, and it's just very refreshing to be able to see everything and have a clear picture of what's happening.
Nice. That's awesome. All right. My number 10 is Thor versus Hulk from Thor Ragnarok. Even though it's in the trailer, I thought that was a really good fight sequence. The final escape sequence from Get Out, I thought was really strong. Though a little derivative of a horror movie, still a good scene. Jon Bernthal's only scene in Wind River, I thought was fantastic. And it is also, it ends in a fight scene as well, too. the sinking ship fight in Blade Runner 2049, near the climax of that film.
Versus
the Terminator, yes, absolutely. Near the opening of War for the Planet of the Apes, the fight where Caesar loses his family and confronts Woody Harrelson for the first time. That is a really, really strong action sequence. I've also got Logan's Last Stand in there. I've got the stairway sequence from Atomic Blonde. I've got General Snoke's throne room, the Red Room, that lightsaber fight in Star Wars The Last Jedi. This would have been my number one had I not talked about it already, and we not talked about it a lot in depth, but the No Man's Land sequence in Wonder Woman I just think is really great. But my number one is, essentially I could cheat and say the entirety of the film Dunkirk, but I'm gonna go specifically with the opening sequence of Dunkirk. So the film opens with a bunch of soldiers walking down a street, and then they get sideswiped by some fire, and that's how we open and are introduced into one of the lead characters that we will be following through the course of this film. And so in order for us to just kind of get this sense of fear and dread about what's happening, it's set up in this way where you're just grabbed by the throat and there's just tension and you're just held onto it and you just can't let it go. And it's really great. All right, best dramatic performance of the year. Do you start or do I?
You start.
So again, these are mostly just my best, my nominees for, not completely though, but somewhat. Here we go. I've got Charlie Hunnam in The Lost City of Z. That is a fantastic performance from an actor who I don't normally care for. But yeah, Charlie Hunnam is fantastic in The Lost City of Z. Number 9, Haley Lou Richardson in Columbus. Columbus is a fantastic film that is on Hulu, by the way. That is just this great little indie film, and she's amazing in that film. Timothy Chalamet in Call Me By Your Name. Daniel Kaluuya in Get Out. John Cho in Columbus. Again, a shout out to that film. John Cho, who is, I think, most known for being a comedic actor, but gives a beautifully understated performance. If you've not seen the film Columbus, I would definitely recommend going out and taking the time to watch this little film about two people just trying to figure out who they are within this town of Columbus in Columbus, Indiana. So it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful film. Rebecca Hall for Professor Marsden and the Wonder Woman, Meryl Streep for The Post, Sally Hawkins for The Shape of Water, Luke Evans for Professor Marsden and the Wonder Woman, and my favorite dramatic performance of the year is Saoirse Ronan in Lady Bird. Now, I get it. I get what you're saying, everyone. It's a comedy. It's a comedic film. Great, it is. I laugh through it. But the emotional underpinnings of that film are not comedic. They're all about growing up. They're all about coming of age. They're all about how you deal with finding out who you are and who you're going to become. And yes, there is a lot of comedy to that film, but I put it over here in drama. I put it over here because I think that what that film is genuinely trying to be is an honest, dramatic portrayal of what life is. And life isn't 100% of the time sad, heavy drama. There's ups and downs of comedic to it. And I think Saoirse Ronan delivers one of the most stunning and beautiful performances that I've seen in a long time. And it's so easy to connect with Lady Bird, and it's so easy to see the world through her eyes, but also relate to each and every person that she comes through. And that's because you come at it in the same earnest and honest way that she comes at it. And her longing to get out of Sacramento and her need to discover more things and her need to be different and just everything that is there on that screen is beautiful and touching, and I love what Saoirse Ronan does as Lady Bird in Lady Bird.
Nice.
What you got?
I have Melanie Lynskey from I Don't Feel at Home in This World Anymore. I absolutely loved her portrayal of depression and someone who's trying to kind of come and find their place in the society.
That's a great pick. She hung on to my list for a real long time this year.
I have Timothy Chalamet from Call Me By Your Name.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Kaluuya from Get Out. I have Robert Pattinson from Good Time.
That's a good pick. Even though I'm not the biggest fan of that film, that performance is strong.
So you understand now. You understand why I was like, where did Robert Pattinson come from this year?
Yeah, right?
He had a good year.
He had a good year. Good job, Ro-Pat.
Meryl Streep from The Post. I absolutely adore that performance in every way. Florence Pugh from Lady Macbeth. Here's where I'm going to struggle. Klaes Bang from The Square. The Square, I don't think I like, but man, he is really, really good in that. Jessica Chastain from Molly's Game, Danny Days from Phantom Thread, and, of course...
Are you talking about Dan Lewis?
No, Danny Days.
Oh, okay. Great.
That's what I call him.
Great. Dan the Can-Can Man?
Why do you do this?
Do what, Kylie?
Don't.
Kai.
Stop it. I will stop the recording. I will walk out. Good day, sir. Okay, and my number one, of course, you had on your list is Miss Rebecca Hall from Professor Marston and the Wonder Women.
Oh my god, she's so good!
So this is a woman who, what I think I appreciate about her performance and I love about her performance is that she is allowed to be a strong woman. But guess what? The strong woman gets to have emotions too. And I think it's beautiful the way that she transforms and changes in that, and she feels, you get to see her feel humility and be able to humanize, and I think that is she's just terrific in every aspect in that film.
Agreed. Absolutely 100% agreed. Nice. All right, let's do it.
We're getting down to the real...
Brass tacks here. What does that even mean?
I don't know.
Okay, great. We're gonna do the saddest moment of the year. The saddest moment in film.
We're gonna end this... The next category is a real...
It's a real humdinger. I like that it's last. It's just silly and ridiculous. It's fine. We can buzz through it real fast and get to Best Picture.
Okay.
Saddest moment, though. We're not going to buzz through this. Am I first or are you first? You go, yeah.
Spoilers for Logan.
Yeah.
Patrick Stewart's death.
I'm glad this is on your list because it almost made mine.
It just, the fear in his eyes is horrifying. When Lady Bird leaves without having the opportunity to say goodbye to her mom... That was a very sad moment. Hector's almost death, but death in quotations.
Hector's death.
From Coco.
Uh-huh.
The phone call from Call Me By Your Name. In the film Band-Aid, there's a reason why this couple is fighting. And when the woman in it has the opportunity to talk about why they're fighting and what all their arguments are kind of, like, the thing that's centering it, that is a very sad and powerful moment just for this character to be able to describe why, what she is going through.
Right.
Sorry, I had to struggle
no,
with that.
No, you're good.
Saving the baby pig at the end of Okja, Caesar's death in War for the Planet of the Apes.
Mm-hmm.
I have the last talk between Gil Burningham and Jeremy Renner in Wind River when they're just comforting one another.
Yes, that's great, yeah.
The final phone call in Brawl in Cell Block 99. And my winner is actually, I think, something that I don't know if you saw coming, but it's the little girl and the rabbit scene from The Zookeeper's Wife.
Oh, yeah.
Where there's this little girl who... they've saved and they are hiding in the basement during World War II, and she will not talk or really look at anyone, and she's just so frightened and sad and angry, and she picks up a bunny and she's petting it, and it's the first time that she's actually communicating with Jessica Chastain about what she's feeling. And when she talks about how she's feeling the world and just how she doesn't trust people, and Jessica Chastain can only trust animals because you know in their eyes you can look and there's no evil or badness in it, and it's just so sad.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
Josh,
you want to break? Stop your crying.
What are you going to show me?
Anne dropped her phone on Charlie's face, and this is the face that he made back at her.
Why'd she drop her phone?
I don't know.
When I look into Charlie's eyes, though, I see anger.
Oh, yeah, there is anger and hate in this cat's eyes. Absolutely. No, that's a great moment as well, too. All right, so mine are Tom Hardy's plane going down at the end of Dunkirk, because you just know kind of what's happening and what's going on and how that's going to end up. I also have a moment from The Zookeeper's Wife, which was a more powerful film than I thought either of us were thinking we were going to see on the Tuesday afternoon where we saw it and ended up bawling. Yes. But I've got where Antonia saves all of her refugees that have been hiding in the zoo when Heck is breaking in, and she knows that, like, she has to stay behind to save everybody else, so that's a really powerful moment. I've got Diner Guy is a Jerk in The Shape of Water, which is just crushing. I've got the another moment from Dunkirk. I've got the French soldier's, I guess spoilers, the French soldier's death, where he's unable to get his fingers out of the submarine they were hiding in. I've got Taki forgetting Michua's name from Your Name. There's this moment in there where they're trying to remember each other, and it's heartbreaking. Your Name is a beautiful, beautiful film.
The Twilight scene of that is...
Yes, absolutely. I've got the car ride home in the final sequence, near the ending sequence of Call Me By Your Name. This moment is kind of the mirror of the one that he has with his father, only he has it with his mother. Emily wakes up from her coma in The Big Sick. It's just heartbreaking when you know everything that he's gone through and everything that they've gone through, and Emily is still in that moment where she was before she went into the coma and just mad at him, and you're like, you have every right and you should be mad at him because he was a jerk, but oh my god, I don't want you to be right now. Like,
he's changed. I know you haven't seen it.
Just
rewind the movie and watch. Yeah, he changed.
Yeah, exactly. I've also got Lady Bird's mom arriving at the airport from that whole sequence. So there's a moment in Professor Marston and the Wonder Woman where they end up having a fight with their neighbors. And you're living so happy in their wonderful relationship that is non-traditional. And then this happens. And it just crushes you. And my number one moment is a moment that I didn't think was going to be my saddest moment of the year. But I have watched this film 3 times now. And the only time it didn't make me cry was the first time when I was so shocked by what happened. I didn't expect it. But I've bawled every time since. And that is, that's Yondu's death and Yondu's funeral in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. I didn't think this film was going to hit me as emotionally impactful as it did. But something about the way that that character relates to Rocket and something the way that that character relates to just the MCU as a whole and the film and in a lesser extent Peter Quill, but you just know that he's at this point in his life just a man trying to do the right thing, and he sacrifices himself for the team, and it's just that funeral, and maybe this award is literally just going to Fathers and Sons by Cat Stevens as a beautiful song choice, but for whatever thing, that moment is put together, and I love Yondu's funeral in it just gets me almost every single time at this point in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Reach into that hat here.
This is my least favorite category. I want you to know
good thing we saved it for last.
I want you to know that I wrote some films down. I have no idea how I'm going to talk about it. I have exactly 2 of these films I can actually really talk about.
Two, Utah, 2.
Prettiest film. Why did I open this?
Prettiest film of the year, that would be the film that is, we thought was
the most Luke Evans-y
of the year, the most beautiful film of the year, the one that was nicest to look at. So we're just talking about the visuals and the design and some choice there as well too. Also, Charlie's just staring at us.
No, he's staring at you.
Hi!
Alright, Josh.
All right, basically I just took the design elements and put them all together. And so my 10 prettiest films of the year are The Beguiled, The War for the Planet of the Apes, Atomic Blonde, Lady Bird, Columbus, Call Me By Your Name, The Shape of Water, The Lost City of Z, Dunkirk, and Blade Runner 2049. I put Blade Runner 2049 up here because I like it less than every other film on this list. However, it's gorgeous. The cinematography by Roger Deakins is stunning, and I'm going to be so sad when he doesn't win his Oscar again this year. But the visual design, the production design, the way that Deakins and director Denis Villeneuve have come together to put together this piece of art. It literally looks like art house cinema told on a blockbuster scale. And I just think that it is such a beautiful piece of filmmaking in terms of what it looks like and what it is and what it does that I adore the visuals and the beautiful nature that is Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah, I don't like that film, but it looks nice.
Yeah, right? I do like that film. I actually might like it more than the OG, but, you know.
Man, I really don't like that film. All right, here we go. I got Dunkirk.
Uh-huh.
I got Raw.
Uh-huh.
I also have The Lost City of Zed. I have Blade Runner 2049. I have The Shape of Water. I have Atomic Blonde. I also have John Wick Chapter 2. You brought up before that fight that takes place in the mirror room.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think that a lot of that fight choreography is stylized and just hyper-saturated. Very similar to Atomic Blonde, just the way that they shoot action. It's in a very interesting way, and they could have easily been like, yeah, it's an action film, but like, I think that they make their set pieces very intriguing and nice to look at.
Yeah, absolutely.
But my winner is not a live action film. It's actually an animated film, and one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about it was that I think that it was Endeavor that I don't know how often we're gonna see much Endeavor like this again with how far computer animation has come. But I want to talk about Loving Vincent.
Cool.
So Loving Vincent is a film that's entirely painted. It's the motion and everything is painted, and it's all in the design of Vincent Van Gogh. And I think that it's gorgeous to look at and gorgeous to experience. A lot of people, I feel like, really loved Blade Runner 2049. I think that they were like hallmark of sci-fi, and I was on the outskirts of it. Looks nice, but I can't connect to it. Now Loving Vincent is my version of that, where I was very intrigued and very on board with the story and what was happening, and I could emotionally connect to it, while others around me were like, it looks pretty, but like, the story. And I'm like, hi, you know, this is just my version of it. And I think that it's gorgeous, and I think that I don't know how much I think that animation is going into a route, but I do love these hand-drawn, hand-painted kind of things, and I really appreciate how,
even as like just a way of showing off the art form a little bit differently, mm-hmm. but I think that, yeah, we're kind of I mean, I don't ever think mainstream animation is going to go back to hand-drawn animation, but I think if we can get a couple of these a year, mm-hmm. you know, these beautifully hand-drawn 2D things. Yeah, absolutely. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to go down to Best Picture now, and you can actually find both of our lists on Letterboxd. I'm Darby ACT, and Kylie is
Kylie Gallisher.
And therefore, if you want to look at these in actual list form, you can do so there. We'll try to link our lists in our show notes as well, too. But we're going to read our top 25s, maybe commenting a little bit on them as well. But as I said at the very beginning of this, I think that there are a lot of good films this year, not a lot of great films. So my bottoms of my 25 are just, they're films that I like, but if you want to tell me that there are flaws and problems with them,
I already know.
No, I was going to say I 100% agree with you, but
I'm aware of my problems. Yes. I get it.
I think I found a lot of this year that I just started to, even though films had problems, I just started to, like, the ones that rise were the ones that gave me an emotional impact. So, here we go. My top 25 of the year. 25, Wonder Woman. Moving up, The Florida Project. Blade Runner 2049, Phantom Thread, Atomic Blonde, getting into 20 now, so my number 20 is War for the Planet of the Apes. Number 19 is Molly's Game, a film that we haven't talked about a ton, but I did really enjoy and I was really emotionally into when we were watching that film. Jessica Chastain is amazing in it, as well as Michael Cera. It's just an overall great film. Number 18, Get Out. I really like that film. It's grown on me the more that I've had time to sit with it. I still think that the third act has a little bit of issues, but it's fine. I like Get Out quite a bit. Number 17, Logan Lucky. Number 16, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Call Me By Your Name comes in at 15. At this point forward, these are outstanding films. So starting with Call Me By Your Name, these are outstanding films. They've got very little nitpicks here with these. So Call Me By Your Name, Baby Driver, Your Name, which technically in America is a 2017 release, even though it's a 2016 film in Japan. 12, Logan. 11, The Post. Getting up into my top 10, here are my top 10 favorite films of the year. The Lost City of Z, The Shape of Water, The Beguiled, Columbus, Coco. My number 5, The Big Sick. I adore The Big Sick. It's great. Number 4, Professor Marsden and the Wonder Woman. Number 3, Star Wars, The Last Jedi. I genuinely think it's an amazing film, and time will tell everybody that it's great. And the only two films of the year that I gave 5 stars to, the only two that I absolutely adored more than any other, one of them shocks me, one of them does not. Number 2 is Dunkirk. I never thought I'd be that high on a Christopher Nolan film, but man alive, it was one of the best cinematic experiences of my year, and as seeing it in 70mm was brilliant. And my number 1 is a film that I've talked about a lot, a film that takes place right around this. She is literally a high school senior when I was a high school senior, and the fashion, the style, the emotion that she's in theater, this film seems like it was genetically made for me, and that's Lady Bird. And Lady Bird is a brilliant film, whether it's genetically made for me or not. It is well directed, it is well acted, it is beautifully written, it is everything you want a film to be and more. And I love Lady Bird. It's my favorite film of 2017.
Okay. My number 25.
Number 25.
The Killing of the Sacred Deer. 24 is Loving Vincent. 23, The Void. 22, Spielberg, a documentary about Spielberg's work. 21, Jim and Andy. I really relate to Milos Forman for some reason.
Milos Forman.
I wonder why I could ever relate to him.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Number 20 is Logan. 19, Get Out. The Beguiled, number 18. Your Name, 17. Call Me By Your Name. Ooh, Your Name and Call Me By Your Name right next to each other. Number 15 is The Lost City of Zed. Number 14 is Baby Driver. Number 13 is John Wick Chapter 2. That has fallen recently.
Oh.
I know.
How the mighty have fallen.
Number 12 is Wind River. 11 is Star Wars The Last Jedi. Number 10, The Meyerowitz Stories New and Selected. Number 9 is The Big Sick. Number 8 is The Post. Number 7 is Icarus. Number 6 is Raw. Number 5 is Good Time. With my new best friend, Robert Pattinson.
Real Pat.
Number 4 is Saoirse Ronan. Number 3 is Dunkirk, the...
Somehow we became Nolan fans this year. I don't really know how that happened.
He was always about 50-50 for me.
Yeah, right?
Number 2, it's a film that no one saw.
But we have, both of them have it in our top 5.
Professor Marsden and the Wonder Woman.
I got such a small release, and I genuinely do encourage you to go find that movie.
I just want to take a moment to talk about what it was about that film that I loved so much. And one of the things is that there are no judgments on these characters. In fact, the thing that's filmed the most perverted is burning of books.
Yeah.
The way that she films that as opposed to everything in this relationship with these three people, this film is just very beautiful and I love it.
Yeah.
Number 1.
I don't know, Kylie. Listeners, it has taken to this moment for me to finally get Kylie to talk about her feelings on why her number one film is her number one film. So I, too, am waiting at bated breath. I know what it is, so here we go.
It's the Phantom Thread.
It's just Phantom Thread.
Oh, you're right, Phantom Thread.
That is Star Wars.
Yeah, Star Wars, the Phantom Thread.
Get out.
That's number 19.
Oh, sorry. What are you doing over there? Go, talk about your Phantom Thread.
Okay. Why do I like this film? Is a really wonderful question. So I have very non-traditional views of marriage, where I won't get too much in it, but it's in a way that I just really struggle with the concept of marriage, but this, that, the other. And watching this film, watching this relationship between two people, I think Paul Thomas Anderson kind of grasped at one of my most why I don't have a lot of issues with relationships. Now, I found myself actually, like you saw yourself a little bit in Saoirse Ronan, I found myself kind of connecting to Daniel Day-Lewis's character.
Yeah.
Where I have had relationships, and because I was very obsessed with my work, and very much in the way that he was, and how, you know, when those relationships ended, I wasn't all that actually sad, but they couldn't, we couldn't gather on the fact that I was very involved in school, and that that was a huge priority with me, and it wasn't something that I could just let go of. And so watching this film and watching this man who I kind of saw a bit of myself of this obsession with work going through this relationship, it was something that really hit me, really kind of dug into me, like, you don't want to be this Daniel Day-Lewis character, Kylie. And I think that Paul Thomas Anderson, in a way, he romanticizes this very unhealthy relationship, but I think there's also some, I think that he's also criticizing it at the same time. I think he does something very interesting with this back and forth. And in a way, when I left that theater, I kind of felt like he was saying, like, I'm going to hyperbolize why this is a bad relationship. Because yeah. I feel like that's how it starts. And then he's like, well, then I'm going to romanticize it, because I feel like this is what Hollywood does. We romanticize bad relationships. And I think that while he is still romanticizing, he's still criticizing this relationship in a way. And I have some back story with that, because I've seen the way he criticizes Daniel Day-Lewis's character in There Will Be Blood. And I know that in The Master, they're dealing with Philip Seymour Hoffman's character. And so I think that he is still kind of, I think he is kind of paralleling it with, like, our love with some of these unhealthy relationships in Hollywood. I think that he's doing something interesting with that. Now, I only saw this movie twice, and maybe I need to see it, like, 12 more times to really get it, you know?
I think you're there.
But I really I really connected with that Daniel Day-Lewis character, and then I was like, oh, maybe this is, there is hope in the future.
Nice. That's awesome.
Who knows?
I wanted to just take a moment to kind of point out to our listeners, and this is probably, to anybody listening to this podcast, is not a surprise, and the sentence that I'm saying out loud is probably not not necessarily a surprise, I guess is the only one that I have. But I think it's important to note that the characters that Kylie and I both probably represent or see ourselves represented the most on screen or most related to this year are two characters that are not on their surface level like us at all. You know, Kylie is not a nearly 60-year-old white male, you know, and I am not a 18-year-old girl, though people may argue with that sentence. But I think that Though I think that it's really important to note that cinema is this beautiful art form in which we can see ourselves in other people. And I think that's a very important lesson to learn and take away. And maybe if we can take nothing else away from movies and nothing else away from cinema and nothing else away from this year in film, is that looking at how we see ourselves in people who are not us is a very important thing to look at and understand and represent who we are, and noting that we are a society and that we have more things in common than we do different, and sometimes we need to embrace that as well too. And so that was something that I thought was really interesting and wanted to just pop in my brain. Hey, thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. We have one more thing that we've started doing, and we can't not do it now.
We can. This is like a 20-hour episode.
Kylie, it's fine. It's time for the Planet Hollywood game. If you want to know why we play the Planet Hollywood game, go back to In Bruges and listen to it. Go back to Bruges. Get there. It's a fairy tale town.
You're an inanimate object!
All right, guys. We're going to give answers to this. And, here we go. Last person to have a correct answer wins. I think I'm up 4-2 at this point-ish, okay. I think. Maybe. Who knows? Kylie, you're going to start.
Okay.
Names of movies with aliens in them.
Okay, wait.
Yeah, what's up?
Sorry.
You can't use franchises, so once it's used, it's gone.
Here's what I heard. Okay. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. Here's what I actually think it means. Well, what my brain said, the word alien had to be in the title.
No.
Okay, so just movies
any movie with an alien.
Sorry,
in
it's
it.
The names of movies that I was like, huh.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay, ready?
Yes. Oh, Toy Story.
Star Wars.
Alien.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Attack the Block.
Shape of Water.
Zathura.
2001.
Okay, yeah.
Are there aliens in that film?
He becomes a weird baby.
Great, done, I win! No, I will give that one to you. You win that one. All right, Kylie, good job. I was just like, movie set in space.
Are there aliens in Zathura?
Yes, I'm pretty sure there's an alien in Zathura.
Phew, I sure did not know.
Kristen Stewart's doing a good human emotion impersonation, so we can count that her as an alien. So, there you go.
I guess just me and the French, then. We like her.
There's more. You and Olivier
Sims.
David Sims and many other critics I like. Hey, friends, if you want to join
enemies.
If you want to join this conversation, you can do so.
Why would you?
At friendofafriendpodcast.squarespace.com. Thank you so much for listening. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts and iTunes. Where you can leave us a 5-star review or any star review. Answer the inquiry of the half fortnight, which has been... what do you think of the year 2017 in film? You can also leave us your underrated gem as we're getting close to the end of February here. You can do so. Is this episode in February? Hang on. This episode might not be even in February, you guys. I don't know how calendars work. You know what? You get an extension. This is it. This is your last episode. You leave that review, that 5-star review or any star review. We'll read it out on the show. It'll all be great. It'll all be good. You can also find us on Facebook at... Friend of a Friend Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at
@DWT_podcast.
YouTube.
Duckfluts Together.
Tumblrs.
Duckfluts Together.
Letterboxd.
That's not our Twitter. It's DWT_podcast.
Letterboxd.
WACT.
If you got here, you're a champ. We applaud you if you are to this point of this episode that's almost a fortnight long. Thank you so much for listening to this year. We look forward to seeing you in the next one. Happy Oscars, everybody. I've been Lady Bird.
I'm Reynolds Woodcock.
Quack, 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 quack.